Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Chef.
Nope. What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Why the f*** do I watch this team?
One of the local writers, Adam Hoagie, or Hog, excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hoagie.
Hey, George.
Hi, Adam.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Adam Johns, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Coach Ditka versus the Hurricane, who would win?
Ditka.
Hold on. The name of the Hurricane is Hurricane Ditka.
Here they are. Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns. Fishbane and Johns. Kevin Fishbane is in for Adam Hoag. He is out. The NFL draft. The Caleb Williams era for the Chicago Bears. Kev, it's just a few days away. What's going on?
So you don't think they're going to trade back, maybe?
That would be, like, if the Chicago Bears, I'll entertain your... this banter for a little bit, Kevin. Like, that would be the greatest. I mean, well, how would you describe it? Like, I don't know why I'm thinking of this right now, but I'm thinking of like Mark Potash asking Phil Emery about how secretive teams are during the draft. Remember that? That was at the combine when they used to have everybody in the stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium, and about how everybody lies at this season. Like, could you imagine the shock, the surprise, the anger if that happened?
Be a lot of words wasted on one Caleb Williams. But yeah, you know, it's funny too, John's like, you know, you and I have been doing this for long enough where we get ready for the first round with, and we're doing this with number nine, right? We're like trying to figure out who it could be and preparing for it. But it's so weird to just already know. And not only already know, you already know about the number one guy who's probably the number one guy dating back in the last like five drafts, and he's going to be a Bear.
Yeah, simple. I've been surprised at how candid and open Ryan Poles has been about the entire situation. Like just our conversation with him in Orlando at the NFL owners meetings, just how, like just completely talking about Caleb in any way you want it to.
Yeah, no, I've appreciated it because you know how guys, NFL guys get these this time of year, you know, they go, well, you know, we're not going to talk about any prospects. And even Matt Eberflus, who sometimes you could barely get him to talk about guys on his own team during the season, talked about Caleb Williams. You know, we're recording this a few hours before we hear from Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham in the annual pre-draft press conference, which is always, you have to do it. It's perfunctory. Am I using that word correctly?
I think so.
It's required. It's obligated. But like, you don't get anything from it. We might get some more color on Caleb Williams, more, you know, tidbits about him today, depending on how much they get asked about, how much they want to talk about it. I'm like sitting here like Thursday night, like running out of things to ask about Caleb Williams actually after they actually make the pick.
Yeah, well, we get to talk to him.
We'll find
things. Yeah. Why waste our time? Why waste everybody's time? That's the way I look at it. Like, why lie? Why play the game?
How many minutes into the... It's a 10-minute timer, right? Mm-hmm. So how long before they make the pick?
Oh, they're going to want... The league will want them.
The league want, yeah.
Yeah, talk it up, discuss it. Yeah, they'll ask for at least 5 minutes for... Because yeah. Everybody works so hard to put these montages together, so...
Do you think that the Bears will have some kind of like... I don't know, if I'm Ryan Poles, don't you kind of want to... Because you know the camera's going to be on in the room for like most of those 10 minutes. Like, I'd like kind of want to do something funny. Like, to call it in. I don't know.
Like, fake taking a nap or something?
Yeah. Just got to sit there, watch the clock. Oh, gotta go make that call. Gotta call that pick in.
Make it entertaining. You know the deal. Read Kevin and I at theathletic.com. I actually have a story up there about a different quarterback today.
You do?
Our A1 on J.J. McCarthy, Chicago native. It's about his hockey life. So my two worlds collided into one for the story. Please check it out. I have 50 prospects plus Caleb Williams, the Bears' final draft big board. As Kevin said, we'll have stuff from Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham later today. This is it. 48 hours away. Find Hoag stuff on allchgo.com. Hit the like button wherever you watch or listen to this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, though, like, Kevin Fishbane has a new look, everybody, right? Like, I saw you on camera yesterday. I was a bit shocked, but now I get to talk to you about it. Like, please explain yourself.
Well, Johns, this is actually draft related. The 2015 NFL draft, the Bears took Kevin White. You might remember him. Mm-hmm. And I did a sit-down interview with Kevin White for a TV show that I was at my previous job. We had a little TV show. And I had our videographer take a picture of the two of us talking that I was going to post to promote it. And I said to him afterwards, I said, "Hey, Dan, what's that bright spot on the back of my head?" It's like, were you shining your like spotlight there? And he kind of gives me this look like, "I don't know how to tell you this, man, but that's not a light. That's just the back of your head." So it was draft week 9 years ago that I realized that my mother's father, may he rest in peace, who I adored and received many great traits from, I also received the trait of a receding hairline. And you get to a certain age, Johnsy, and it was time to kind of embrace what my pops, my grandfather gave me, and this is the new look.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like
Most it. Importantly, my wife likes it, and I mean, that's obviously, as you know, that's number one. She went with me to get it done.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life. We know the saying. Although, like, have you ever driven down 294 or you know, the Kennedy, and just there's a bunch of these billboards, you may have seen them, about a former bald Chicago athlete, yep. Former great linebacker for the Bears. A lot of hair ads. No?
Yeah.
Restore?
Yeah. Give
Brian Urlacher a call, maybe?
I generally ignore some of the things that he promotes.
Well, you look good. Today's podcast is, it's basically your podcast, if you're listening. It's your final draft questions. We have a bunch. I tried to take... I don't know, 7 or 8 of the best. Maybe we'll get to a few more. Kevin and I, at the end of the show, will make our final predictions for not number one, but the number 9 pick. As Kevin said, it's where the intrigue really is. But we took your questions on Twitter, on X, what have you. Let's get to it. Kent's going to put them up here kind of one by one. This is from Harvey Spectrum. Harvey Spectrum 2, a lot of talk about drafting a defensive tackle or edge, but isn't Caleb Williams' development priority number one? Why not go for offense to support him? Winning games can come next year. Thanks.
I mean, we'll talk about this all podcast. I don't think they can really go wrong at number 9 because the positions of need are all kind of premium positions. You're talking pass rusher, pass protector, pass catcher. So you can sit there, Johns, and argue that getting that elite pass rusher, whether it's inside or outside, is going to make the defense so much better that Caleb Williams is going to get great field position, and he's going to have a little bit less pressure on him. He won't have to carry the team like he did so often at USC when their defense struggled. Like, I think that getting somebody on defense is not ignoring Caleb Williams' development at all. It might not be as directly helpful as getting a receiver or a left tackle, but I still think getting someone on defense to make this defense even greater is going to benefit him.
The Bears had the worst pass rush rate of all teams last year. Like, the worst. You know what the best? The Kansas City Chiefs. So defense is still very important. It helps your quarterback. It helps a young quarterback. Puts less pressure on him. And then you have these two glaring holes, as Harvey mentioned, at defensive tackle, especially at defensive end opposite Montez Sweat. I get it. Help your offense. Help your young quarterback as much as you can. But I do believe in the argument that having a strong defense takes some of that pressure off that young quarterback as well. We saw what it did for Mitch Trubisky in 2018, right? Delivered short fields, gave a lot of momentum to the team overall. That Bears defense can do some of that this year in 2024, but they need a little bit more help, especially as pass rush. Again, they had the worst pass rush sack rate of all teams last year.
And if Caleb Williams is good as the Bears hope he is, he's going to be the type that the Bears have never really had, that he elevates the guys around him. Now, that's not saying you ignore wide receiver. And look, if they take Romo Dunze on Thursday night, you and I will be sitting there being like, of course they take Romo Dunze. What a great weapon for Caleb Williams. But if they don't, again, you kind of flip this around. You can say, well, Caleb Williams is the type of quarterback who can make your number three receiver look a little better than he might appear.
Yeah. So I get the argument, but that defense needs help too. All right, next question. This is from Zach. Trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. What price are you okay with, and what's realistic? So, a lot of buzz about this recently.
Yeah, you know, I was watching David Haw. Is he a friend of the program? Mm-hmm. Friend of the pod.
We used to do a lot of pregame shows together back in the day, back in the Matt Nagy era of the Chicago Bears.
David was on this on the NBC Sports Chicago draft show I was watching the other night. I mean, I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt are the two, right? It's interesting to see some people say that they believe Malik Nabers is actually more talented than Marvin Harrison Jr. You're starting to see a little bit of that. But, I mean, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this is like we're getting into draft overthink, overanalyze territory. I wouldn't put it past Ryan Poles. Like, if this team is all in and you've got a 3-year window, maybe, before you got to pay your quarterback. So I could see it, but I still think that there's more needs. And, you know, I'll also throw this one at you, Johns. Think about the game's best receivers. Okay. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we did our debate. You know, wide receiver versus D-line versus O-line. How many Super Bowls have those guys won? Like, Patrick Mahomes won two without Tyreek Hill. You know, Justin Jefferson is phenomenal. Stephon Diggs is phenomenal. Like, these guys are great players, but, you know, it's, you still look at, you talked about the Chiefs and their pass rush rate. You look at what the Chiefs did to fortify their offensive line. You look at the 49ers going out and getting Trent Williams. You know, I still think that this thing starts in the trenches. And I'm not sure, again, if they do it, I'll spin it the other way and say, of course, you go get a potentially generational receiver to pair with your potentially generational quarterback. But I still think that this is a game that you gotta fortify your lines.
So receivers who have been traded in the past few years, they include DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, as you said, Stephon Diggs, twice, Amari Cooper, A.J. Brown, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley. I think I'm missing some there as well, but
Davante Adams.
They are all great examples of how you could still find a receiver if you need one. Man, I'm like kicking myself for not putting Davante Adams on my list, because that is a great example. Superstar in Green Bay. Traded to the Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas Raiders. So, to me, no. And the price could be insane.
Well, the price would be number 9, probably 975 in a 2025 second, you need the Panthers pick, right? You got the Panthers second round pick next year? I don't know. I think that's a lot. Now, he might be the guy. He might be that good. that you do that and you just, again, you're trying to be a great team. Go get, you have an opportunity, a rare opportunity to get two great players. And you're not, if you're good, you're not going to have a chance next year. And Ryan Poles has done moves like training for Montez Sweat because he wasn't going to get a Montez Sweat the next year. So, I mean, again, I can see it, but man, that's tough. That'd be a little bit of a tough sell when you look at what the what this team still needs.
I'd rather have that conversation about Joe Alt if the Bears really feel that way.
That's I was going to say that too, because I think you could feel good about Joe Alt being a 10-year left tackle.
Because you and I were texting about this last night. There's been so many trades for receivers over the, what, the past 10 years? Like superstars, Pro Bowlers. And then there's been trades for pass rushers. The Bears have done that too. Montez Sweat, Khalil Mack. But the trades, in terms of like finding a lockdown offensive tackle, they're just rare, right? Like Tunsil, Laremy Tunsil. But now he's a stalwart. And he just got paid by the Houston Texans, right? Like,
yeah,
they're hard to find.
Historically, and again, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the guy that bucks the trend. But historically speaking, you have a better hit rate at offensive line in the first round than you do wide receiver. And part of that is because you can find some really good receivers in rounds 2 and 3.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing all this talk, and now they're going to draft a receiver. On Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. Like,
if
I
the
totally
board tells them that, but I wouldn't trade up for one.
Totally get it, yeah.
Especially if you got the, excuse me, coffee burp there, but if you got those three great receivers as potential options at number 9, don't force it. It'll be fine. All right, next question. It's from Milligan. I know it's been discussed a bit, but how do you see next year's picks as potential trade chips for this year's draft? Do you know of some examples of this in previous drafts?
Yeah, I mean, this would be the move up. Well, there's two things. It's either you move up for Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt. That's where you use one of those future picks. But here's this, John Z. How about October? How about late October if the Bears are, you know, 6-3, 5-3, that's where that Panthers second round pick next year suddenly becomes a tool for Ryan Poles to potentially use to go get a veteran. I look at those. I mean, yes, you could use it for this year's draft, but that's only for one of those two guys if you're going to make the move. Although, Adam Hoge, we could talk, let's talk about his Bears mock draft.
Okay.
He did have...
You would love this, by the way, but go ahead.
He did have the Bears moving up to 27. Let me pull up the exact particulars for Xavier Worthy.
The speedster from Texas?
The speedster from Texas who did visit. He did visit Hallis Hall. So let's see. He's giving up 75 and 76, which he got from Denver because he traded back from 9 to 12, which we did in our Bears mock. And then he gave up a 2025 second to move up. Oh, you know what? He got that 2025 second from Denver in that trade, too. So he's really wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're going
to... He really held the Broncos.
Look, I like Hoge's mock. I mean, you see teams that sometimes move into the bottom of the first, move up when they see a guy that's like slipping, and the Bears don't have that second round pick. Yeah, I mean, look, they've got the draft capital. The flip side of that, too, is next year's draft is supposed to be much deeper in talent than this year's draft. So if you want draft picks, next year's the year to have them.
Yeah, and like just before we get to the next question, like in general, like come day two, day three, you see a ton of moves that involve future draft capital, you know, draft capital this year later in the draft capital later next year. Teams move up for their guys. There's so much movement in the draft. I don't think that's like understood enough sometimes about how much movement there is. Like day three, teams just try to get guys they like. Some teams move down more to take more swings at it. There's a ton of different approaches. And like Ryan Pace obviously had a different approach than Ryan Poles. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, always a possibility. All right, next question. This is from Mason, I believe, friend of the show, yep. West Sports PT. One player that seems to be ruled out due to positional value is Brock Bowers. While yes, he's a tight end, the guy's tape as a pass catcher raises that value, in my opinion. Thoughts? Oh, I have thoughts.
I was going to say, you should take this one.
Not to tease what's coming tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, but we did our final Athletic beat writer mock draft. And let's just say Brock Bowers came into serious consideration at number 9, considering what happened in front of the Bears in terms of, we'll call it a flurry of activity. So I 100% agree with you, Mason. He is more than just your typical tight end. He has more than the traditional positional value of that position. And I think there is a fit for the Bears, even with Cole Kmet here, even with Gerald Everett here. If you look at the Seahawks last year, and I'm not saying Shane Waldron is going to do the exact same thing, but you know what? It's what we're going. We can base certain expectations off of what the past tells us, right? The Seahawks used a lot of three tight ends last year, not on the field at the same times, but they rotated them in a lot. So there is a potential need there at that position for the Chicago Bears.
Are we hypocrites for saying, why not take Brock Bowers at 9, but maybe we shouldn't take a wide receiver at 9?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But that's the thing about Bowers, though. It's like, is he that unique, that rare? You know, and I think of, I mean, Bowers just, there's some talk, as was his 40 time, did he do a 40? And it didn't necessarily chalk up there with some of the, like, the top tight ends and their 40s. So people have been talking about that, but I mean, you just, all you got to do is watch Brock Bowers and you can tell that guy's just an incredible football player. And look, Gerald Everett, that's a 2-year, $12 million deal. That's not like, that's not a guarantee of anything. So it's one of those things that they have to strongly consider if Bowers is there, I think.
Well, he visited Hallis Hall, and then there's such a steep drop off between him and everybody else. And I think if you looked at some of the playoff teams this year, Detroit comes to mind, Kansas City is always in mind. The tight end position can be such a game changer for you. And I think Cole Kmet does provide some of that. But imagine having two tight ends that create mismatch problems over the middle of the field.
Well, I was listening to a friend of the program, Nate Tice, the other day, and he talked about, like, you should look at Bowers not necessarily as a tight end, but just like, as a, I think the phrase he used was a power slot, like a big slot receiver. Like, he was almost comparing him more to Cooper Kupp than, for example, Cole Kmet. And I mean, you think about what Keenan Allen and DJ Moore can do for you, and you mix in someone like Bowers, like, I get it. You need the right coach. You need the right scheme guy, play caller, to make sure you're getting the most out of somebody like Brock Bowers. And Shane Waldron, because as you mentioned, the tight end stuff, seems like he could be that guy. I just think, yeah, I think it's something that you got to strongly consider. The other thing too, Johns, I know the downside of taking a tight end there is the money aspect, right? Because you'd be paying Brock Bowers as a rookie as if he's a top whatever tight end. Okay. You know what? The Bears paid two off-ball linebackers a heck of a lot of money a couple years ago. I think that they think about that stuff a little bit, but they obviously prove that they're not fazed if they think somebody's going to be that important to their team. Like, they're not going to be bothered by that.
Well, again, it's how you view him. Do you view him more as your typical tight end? Right? Like,
yeah, I see a scenario where Cole Kmet's your guy who's in line, and Brock Bowers is in that move tight end spot in the slot. And you've got Allen on one end and DJ Moore on the other end. Think about what you can do with those two
guys. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a different conversation, too, than adding a receiver. But in the way the mock draft played out, I don't want to give it completely away, but you'll see, again, recording on Tuesday, the mock draft comes out on Wednesday, but you'll see why Brock Bowers has to be considered. And I think the Bears, by hosting him, tell you that he has to be considered in that 9 pick range, right? That 9, maybe slight trade back range, because that's where his 3 falls in your board. Like, Dane Brugler, has him as the number 7 overall player in the draft. Right? I just want to read, like, I don't think we've talked about Bowers enough. We've talked a lot about defensive tackles, edge rushers, offensive linemen. But Bowers, for some reason, I think we've kind of, I don't know, just haven't brought him up enough. So, like, here is the final line of Dane's scouting report on Bowers. Overall, Bowers is an explosive pass catcher who creates mismatches all over the field with speed, ball skills, and competitive edge. He has NFL star potential in the mold of George Kittle if he lands with a play caller prepared to feature his unique and versatile talent. Just something to think about. I think the Bears are.
The thing is, we're talking about receiver. I'm not like against taking an Odunze or a Neighbors or a Harrison. Like, I totally understand it. Just like I totally understand Bowers. I think just Bowers is just, there's a little bit more of a rarity to what he could be.
Agreed. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs is the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Because when you're looking for a job, Hogan Johns fans, you want the best experience possible. No questions left to answer and sketchy websites to navigate around. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. And over 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Next question. This is from Escher31. If Atlanta loses the 8th pick for tampering, does it make more or less likely that the Bears trade out of 9? So that would mean they move up to number 8.
Well, I mean, I think Atlanta is the problem when you do, at least when we've been doing some of these mocks, Johns, I think the Falcons pose a problem for the Bears. So getting them out of the way and then moving up to 8 puts the Bears in a better spot, because you talk about 4 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, 1 offensive tackle, right? Now, again, we don't know that's how the draft is going to go, but that is what a lot of mocks have. So that's 8 players. So if all 8 of those guys are gone and you get to the Bears at 9, yes, you'd like to trade back, but who's trading up for who? If you're an 8 and one of those guys is there, you have a chance to take one of them, or B, somebody trades up. And you, like, if you, like, so let's, I brought this up in my live room yesterday. Let's say Romo Odunze is there for the Bears, whether it's at 8 or 9. And we've all talked about all this time, but the Bears just don't have that high of a value on him. He's the type of guy someone's going to trade up for. So I think if the Bears are in the 8th spot, yeah, I think they are in a better position to trade down, but they're also in a better position to take one of those 4 non-quarterbacks who are going to get there.
Yeah.
Because the Falcons have their quarterback. So they're the team that teams are trying to trade up with, potentially, if a J.J. McCarthy gets to 8. Like, you know, they're the team that, like, I just think that they're, like, we play out these mocks, and they're kind of, like, they're kind of the pest in the way.
There would be more, say this scenario plays out, there would be more conversations with the teams that are looking to trade up. Like, can you imagine if you're the Vikings and you're having these conversations with the Falcons, which are easier conversations than having trade conversations with the Bears because they're outside your division? Hey, you know, you took Kirk Cousins, but from us, how about we trade up to 8 so we could go get our quarterback, maybe J.J. McCarthy? Then all of a sudden the Bears come into that spot and Ryan Poles is just, not going to answer that. It's just, it makes for different conversations. Now, time will tell. It's 9:10 Tuesday morning here in Chicago. Maybe the punishment for the Falcons comes out later today, maybe tomorrow. there is, it was from Adam Schefter, the report that they will be losing some draft compensation. The Miami Dolphins lost a first-round pick because of tampering for Tom Brady. Now, that was a late first-round pick. I don't know, like, we brought this up before the show. Is there a level of egregiousness that would result in the Falcons losing number eight? Can it be a third-round pick? We'll see.
Couldn't you picture the Falcons calling Kirk Cousins directly and him being like so polite and like, guys, I really appreciate it, but you have to wait until March 11th.
Yeah. All right, next question. This is from Nikolai. What is the lowest you see the Bears trading down to? Who are the draft options at that spot? So when I was doing the beat writer mock draft yesterday, I got trade calls from teams in the 20s, late 20s. Actually, I think one was 32, so tried to give one away there. But teams that were interested in moving up for receivers, maybe a Joel Alt. So the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills were two teams I engaged in trade conversations with going through this exercise. And I kept telling them, I need more. That is such a far jump for me to go from 9 to what, 27, 28 to maybe the end of the first round. I want more. I need more this year. I need more next year. Things didn't get too far down the road with the Chiefs. Things got going with the Bills. The Bills, you'll see tomorrow what happened with their moves. But if I'm Ryan Poles and those teams are calling in the 20s, I need a lot. I just do, because I think there is such... That's when you go from your blue players to your red players. You may find starters. You may get lucky. You find maybe find a blue player. But just in terms of when you're looking at your board, there's no way the Bears have 25 blue players on their board. It just doesn't work that way. Draft evaluations don't work that way. So the furthest I would trade down from 9 is probably like 12, 13, 14, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you want to come out of there with that blue chip guy. And I think, you know, again, the Bears draft board could look completely different than Dane Brugler's, but we're going to use Dane's, right? In that 12 to 15 range, you've got Olufoshanu, J.C. Latham, Dallas Turner, Brian Thomas, a receiver from LSU, Byron Murphy, go down to 16. Like, those guys are, you know, would all help the Bears. Now, I do think he's got Jared Verse at 20, so we've talked a lot about Jared Verse, obviously. The two interesting guys, three. There's three interesting guys in those late teens, early 20s. Graham Barton from Duke, who seems to be like the football guy's favorite draft prospect.
Bears hosting him for a visit. Just,
there you go. Another visit, Laiatu Latu, the edge from UCLA. If the Bears got a perfect medical on him, incredible pass rush arsenal. And then Jackson Powers Johnson, who we talked about a ton in January before the trade for Ryan Bates. So, you know, those are three. But I don't know. I mean, Latu, if it's a clear medical, I don't know if those guys are game changers like you could get from a Verse or a Murphy or, you know, one of these receivers. So you just got to be. But the only way you're getting a two back this year is if you trade down that far. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's more in that kind of 3, 4, 5 picks down range.
Something about Jared Verse, like if you read a story, going from Albany to Florida State, the way he plays, the way he endeared himself.
His scouting report is Matt Eberflus.
It's like he wrote it. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. It's
so, and he's got like long enough arms.
Yep.
Sorry, I thought you had more. I cut you off.
Nope, we're good.
All right, next question.
It's principal.
This is from Oluwaki. How do you pick at number 9 if the four QBs, the three wide receivers, and Joe All are gone and you can't trade down? And how do you feel about it? So let's repeat that. So the four QBs are gone. Williams, Daniels, May, and McCarthy. The three receivers are gone. Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, and Joe All are gone. What do you do if you can't trade down? How do you feel about it?
I mean, you feel fine. Okay, Jared Verse, fine. Dallas Turner, fine. Byron Murphy, fine. J.C. Latham, Olufoshanu, Brock Bowers. I think those...
Fine.
Fine.
Fine, fine, fine. Yeah.
I think you feel totally fine about any of those six guys because those are guys who are going to start for you and have the traits of being a starter for you for a very long time at premium positions. Like, you know, did I miss a guy? Those are kind of, I guess the problem with the offensive line is a Fatanu and a Fuaga. Like, we just don't know where the Bears see those guys, how they fit. But
you, like, you could see them liking them a lot because of their play style and like in just the projection. But where, like, where would you fit them amongst the Bowers or the Murphys or the Verses? Like how would they stack?
Right. Like any of those, like the first six guys, and you could throw those two in and make it eight. Any of those eight guys is a day one starter. And I think too, Johns, if the Bears didn't have the number one pick, right, we'd be talking about any of those guys being a maybe franchise changing is a little strong, but you're talking about a top 10 talent. You're talking about a top five non-quarterback talent in the whole entire draft. I think you feel pretty good about any of those guys. And then, oh, by the way, you're also drafting Caleb Williams. I think it's a good, it's a perfectly fine spot to be in. Of course, you'd love to get Joelle if they believe in one of those wide receivers. It'd be nice to have an opportunity at them. Any of those guys we mentioned, be perfectly fine.
You're in position to draft the first defensive player of this draft. Who do you think, like, how do you think that stacks for the Bears?
I think, you know, that's not why you do it, but I think that's an incredible bonus. Like, you could come out of this draft with the best offensive and best defensive player in the draft. And this is where we know that, okay, so there was, we had a, Bruce Feldman and I had a story that came out Sunday morning where the, we, you know, the quarterback coach had some thoughts about the Bears situation. And I thought the perception was important to present, which was the perception from this coach was that Matt Eberflus was on the hot seat. I think that's wrong. And I think you agree with me that that's wrong. Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles have a very, very good connection. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. This is not John Fox and Ryan Pace from 2017. Okay? Matt Eberflus could be like, all right, you got your quarterback. Last year you got your tackle. It's time to get me my edge rusher. It's time for me to get my three technique. Yeah, that's not why you make the pick. You collaborate and you pick the best guy on the board. But I do think that there is a very, like, those two work really well together. And that could be a situation where Matt Eberflus, it's like, I get to pick the best defensive end, defensive tackle in the draft. Let's do it.
If I'm the Bears, this is how I would feel about it. I'm looking at my best, potentially my best tight end, potentially my best pass rusher, potentially my best three technique. Now, of those three, who is the best? You know what I'm saying? Like, now you take those three positions. How do you tier them? The board, the Bears draft board, is horizontal. So it's interesting. A lot to discuss. So, Kev, what is your prediction for number nine? Obviously, Caleb Williams is going number one. We both agree on that.
Probably. Draft, maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
Don't do this. How do you think things play out at number nine? What is your prediction? Final prediction.
I was thinking of saying Jared Verse just because I know that you're probably going to say Jared Verse. If I say Jared Verse, are you going to say something different?
No, I got something different in mind. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Ah, man. It's hard to just pick one of those guys. I really think all of them make so much sense. So I'll go with Byron Murphy.
I think they trade back. I think some team comes up for like an Olufoshanu, their left tackle. I think they take a defensive player. I'm not sure. It's like whoever's available there in terms of what their trade back is to 12 or 13. But I just have a sense there's a move there to be made, even if it's for a team moving up for a fourth receiver. We're not talking about more. A team moving up for Brock Bowers, and you're okay with it because he's still tiered lower than some of the defensive players. I just think there could be a move there. That's my prediction. There's a slight trade back, and I think it's either going to be Jared Verse or Byron Murphy. at like 12, 13, somewhere in that range.
And don't rule out the possibility of one of these guys being on the board, whether it's a receiver or a tackle. And you think to yourself, the Bears on the clock, like, oh my God, they're going to take that guy. We had that thought with Peter Skoronski last year. We had that thought with potentially Jalen Carter last year, and the Bears traded back. The Bears board is different than every, like, it's the Bears board. We don't know how Ryan Poles stacks these guys. So, but I'm with you. I've kind of felt since the combine that that opportunity to take a defensive guy might be too hard for them to pass up.
Yeah. When I think we're learning too from like the Darnell Wright move, is that they view blue chip players differently than maybe some outside analysis and even teams within the league. Like Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright worked out pretty well so
pretty
far.
Pretty well. They had a top 10 grade on him, and most on the outside had him in the teens and the 20s, right? So, yeah, I don't know. It's a great spot to be in. That's my prediction. Slight trade back somewhere. Maybe a team moves up for their left tackle and the Bears are able to play their board a little bit more, but that's my prediction. Kev, as Adam would ask me, any final thoughts?
Well, they could also take one of those wide receivers, and I also would like to predict the possibility to take one of the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Or Brock Bowers. It's covering all your bases, my friend.
It's a great spot to be in.
It's a great spot.
It is, and two top 10 fun. Picks.
We didn't even talk about pick number 75.
Who would you take with number 75?
Receiver, D lineman, and an offensive lineman.
Oh. Okay.
Torrey Taylor, round 4, baby. Let's get the punter. Get the punter of Chicago. Punt to win.
I got this question a few times in various ways. Just like how would you describe the vibe around the Bears, even like our excitement as opposed to like some of the teams that we've covered before? You have any thoughts on that?
Good vibes.
There's your expert analysis. It's different. No?
Yeah. I mean, they're set up for Thursday to be one of the most important days in the history of the franchise.
There you go, Kev.
That doesn't mean it will work, but they're in position for this to be the draft that Bears fans talk about for a long time. So, there you go.
Would you put it up there? Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But enough talking about 83. You got the Buckus Sayers here.
83.
All right. That's a wrap. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Johns, Kevin Fishbane at KFishbane. Read us on theathletic.com. We'll have plenty of coverage this week, especially Thursday, first round of the draft. It's here. It's finally here. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Check out Kevin's new hairdo. Read us on theathletic.com. Adam Hoag, allchgo.com. You know the deal. Thanks as always. We will be back after the first round. See ya.
Nothing's off the table. Nothing is on the table right now.